into heaven by a whirlwind. Lord had revealed to him that his work was finished. Lord was ready to call him home and let another take his place and continue the work of chief prophet in Israel. Remember that Elijah and Elisha traveled together from Gilgal, then to Bethel, and then to Jericho. Each time, Elijah asking Elisha to stay here, tarry thee, I pray thee, in this place, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel, or to Jericho, or over the Jordan River. Each time Elisha said, no, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, as long as you are still here, I will go with you wherever the Lord has told you to go. You are my spiritual father. I am your spiritual son. I will not let you go until it is the Lord's time. And so he went with Elijah over the Jordan River. Elijah took his mantle, his prophet's coat, wrapped it up, and smote the Jordan River, and it parted hither and thither, and they walked through on dry ground to the other side. As soon as they stepped onto the other side of the Jordan River, the waters closed up and continued to flow to the south once again. On the other side of the Jordan River, they talked together, knowing that the time of Elijah's departure was at hand. And then, as Elijah knew the time was very close, he asked Elisha, ask what I shall do for you. What would you like me to give you, or what would you like me to do for you before I am taken up soon into heaven, and I will see your face no more until it is time for you to come home? What shall I do for you? And Elisha answered and said to Elijah, grant to me the double portion of thy spirit. Elijah answered and said that was a very difficult thing for him to grant. Yet if Elisha would see and stand before what was going to take place in faith, he could be assured that God had heard his request and God would give to him that spirit that Elijah had and continues to have. And while they were talking together, Elisha, suddenly from behind them or from in front of them, chariots of fire appeared and separated them. And then suddenly a whirlwind or tornado came from the hand of the Lord and took Elijah out of the presence of Elisha into heaven with the chariots and the horses flaming with fire, the angels of God driving those chariots into the presence of God in heaven, and he was gone. And Elisha cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. He was, as we notice, stricken with grief as he tore apart his clothes. As he was tearing apart his clothes, he noticed something on the ground. He went over and picked it up. It was the mantle of Elijah, the coat of Elijah, which, of course, he would not need in heaven. But it was something that Elisha would need. And he took it up and took that mantle and continued on in his work. He returned to Jericho over the Jordan River and took up the work of the chief prophet in Israel. Beloved, that's what the Lord has called me to do for you, to take up that coat of camel's hair, that mantle of pastor and preacher in the congregation, the mantle of missionary that is gone, the mantle of pastor in this congregation. That's what the Lord put on me this morning and now calls me to wash your feet, to lead you in the green pastures of His Word, God's Word. I must take up the mantle, wear the coat as a prophet of the chief prophet in the church, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This text is a word of encouragement and gives us hope as a pastor and a people of God, but as a servant of Jehovah, willingly in faith, sees what Elisha saw that day on the other side of the Jordan River, on our side. I have the hope that Christ will give to him the same thing he will give to a faithful pastor of Jesus Christ as he takes up that mantle. So with those things in mind, we consider our text under the theme, taking up the mantle. Taking up the mantle of being a faithful under-shepherd of Jesus Christ in our congregation. Well, notice, first of all, taking up what? And then how is that possible? And then finally, with what hope do we go about this work as an office bearer, as a pastor in the church? Children, you must take notice that Elisha took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen to the ground. That little detail here in the story is very important and not to be overlooked. The mantle, we're told by those who have studied Jewish customs and so on, tell us that that mantle was an overcoat of camel's hair woven with either the rough or the fine hair of the camel into a coat which the prophets normally wore. In fact, that's what John the Baptist wore as he labored in the wilderness, preaching to the people of God and who came out to meet him and baptizing them in fulfillment of the Old Testament Elijah, who wore the same kind of a prophet's wardrobe, especially the coat of camel's hair. That's what Elisha picked up off the ground, that coat of camel's hair. Elisha recognized that mantle as necessary, not in itself, but as something for the Old Testament people of God to notice and to understand that he belonged now to that office of prophet. Israel, when seeing him wearing that coat of camel's hair, they would recognize this now is the one who has taken the place of Elijah in Israel. This is the chief prophet to whom we may go to hear the word of Jehovah, to hear the will of God concerning his people. The mantle symbolized the office and the work which God had called Elisha to do, which was to say, thus saith Jehovah. His work wasn't merely, as sometimes we might think, to tell of future events, although that's part of it. His work was to reveal God's truth, God's word, the revelation of the gospel to God's people or those nations around Israel to whom God would give his word of judgment. He was to be the mouthpiece of Jehovah. Just like Samuel, he had to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." I need to know what the Lord says. I need thee to speak to me. Otherwise, I have nothing to say to the people of God. Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth. And then whatever Jehovah spoke to him, that's what he had to say to the people of God. Nothing more, nothing less. Just the word of Jehovah. Always he had to do that. Whether he was in the classroom in Jericho or Bethel teaching the sons of the prophets to be prophets in Israel, to preach to the people of God and to lead them in God's word, whether he was before the kings of Israel, whether he was visiting the widows in Israel, or whether he was standing on the walls of Dothan, that city surrounded by Syrians, standing next to his servant, or standing before an angry king, or very proud and mighty captains of great armies, thus saith the Lord to you, or to you, or to you. And that word, he could expect would be powerful. It would lift up the poor in spirit, cast down the proud to their destruction, or, in the case of Naaman, to his repentance, to bring the wayward back into the path of life, to enlighten the eyes of the spiritually blind, to comfort the brokenhearted, to bind up the wounds of the 7,000 that were still faithful to God in Israel. And, as we noticed in our text, even, if necessary, to speak the word of a curse in the name of Jehovah, as he did to those wicked children in Bethel, those 42 children. He must speak God's word and do that in an Israel which was apostatizing, worshiping the golden calves, working with a very small remnant of the people of God. That was the mantle, that was the office given to him by God. And that's what the preacher must fulfill today. As we heard in the installation form this morning, the work of the minister of God, given that mantle now to wear, is to preach the word, to preach the doctrines of God's word according to godliness, the doctrines of sovereign grace, God's everlasting covenant of grace, all the doctrines that are all related and intertwined in the truth revealed centrally in Jesus Christ and him crucified. He must bring that word faithfully, without compromise, without change, faithful to Christ, the shepherd of the sheep, so that the sheep and the lambs may be fed, may be nourished unto everlasting life. And he must preach that in the confidence that that's what we need. We need to hear the word of God that says we are sinners. Yes, that's a painful word to hear for you and me, and not just you, but also me. That's very painful. Yet that's what we need from the great physician, to cure us by his Spirit of our spiritual diseases, of our sin, and to work in us true faith and life in Jesus Christ. That's what he must do in the pulpit, and then in the catechism class with the youth or the converts that God graciously and in his good time brings into his church, or in Bible study, or in his pastoral visits, or his counsel with some of the people of God, or to those dying, to bring the word of Christ, the word of Jehovah, our covenant-keeping God. Secondly, he is to pray and be a man of prayer in public, in our worship, in private, with God's people, and even by himself in private as well. Must pray to God. Seek God's blessing and strength to do his work at his desk, to make the sermons, to prepare the catechism lessons, to do all the work there also of the ministry of the word. He must administer the sacraments, which is no insignificant thing. He must administer the seal of God's covenant, the Lord's Supper, unto the people of God for our edification, for our faith, and for the glory of God. And he is to work with the elders in watching the flock, that all things be done decently and in order, according to the word of God, according to the ordinances of Jesus Christ, so that the keys of the kingdom of heaven are faithfully exercised. The flock of God is built up, is strengthened, is nourished, and protected, and preserved in this present age. Great are the obligations, you see, as we read them this morning, a long list that belong to that wearing of the mantle of a New Testament prophet of Jesus Christ in the New Testament church. That's what fell to Elisha as Elijah was going into heaven. Elijah would not need that mantle in heaven. His work as being a prophet was finished. In heaven, he doesn't do the work there that he did do. In this earth, that office, that work had to be given to another man, Elisha. And that indicates, beloved, Elisha was not self-appointed. He did not say, okay, sons of the prophets, I'm the next chief prophet in Israel because I say so. God sent that mantle from Elijah down to Elisha upon the earth. Elisha was appointed by God, by Christ, the angel of Jehovah. That's the kind of pastor we want, too. Not someone who is self-appointed. We want one whom the Lord, we know and we're assured of, the Lord has given him the mantle to be worn in our congregation, to serve us, to lead us in God's word for our salvation and the salvation of our covenant children. We must believe that what has taken place this morning, that did not happen by chance, but that's exactly the way the Lord has determined it to go, just as he did in the day when the mantle fell out of heaven from Elisha to Elisha. Both divinely controlled by God, so that the people of God, in this case you and me, might receive a servant of Jehovah to speak to us God's word. Then notice, secondly, beloved, Elisha took the mantle. He did not run away from it. He took a hold of the mantle. Took it as his own, picturing, yes, this is from the Lord, from my spiritual father now to me. Now I must be in that position of chief prophet in Israel. That's the Lord's will. He obediently received that mantle. Did not run away from it as Jonah did. He received that mantle, went into the work of his office. It's not only important that the Lord lay upon the New Testament pastor that mantle of the work, but that he also receive that mantle in obedience to Christ. and then labor in that office for the sake of Christ, who gives him that coat of camel's hair, so that the people of God may be served through him. And then notice, thirdly, when Elisha returned to Jericho, the people embraced Elisha now as that new prophet in Israel. They saw him wearing the coat. He had that old mantle on. He was the new prophet who took the place of Elijah in Israel. And we read in verse 15, what did they do? Did they say what those wicked children said? Go up, thou bald head. Why don't you also go up into heaven too? Get out of here. Is that what they said? No, verse 15. Those faithful sons of the prophets, they came to meet him. They bowed themselves to the ground before him, which in those days didn't mean that they were worshiping Elisha, but they showed their love and their respect to their new father, spiritual father, Elisha. Elisha had taken the place of Elijah, and they embraced that truth, that reality. This was the will of God. The love with which they had embraced Elisha, now they gave that to Elisha as well. And they bowed before his God-given authority. And similarly, beloved, it's necessary for us that we receive our new pastor. That you receive me from the hand of the Lord. For the Lord's sake, and for the Lord's, the sake of his truth, you must honor the authority of the office, and the man in the office, not for the sake of himself, but because of the Lord who has sent me to serve you. Embrace him as he wears that coat of camel's hair, that mantle. Love him and his family for the sake of Christ, and for the sake of the office of the ministry of the word in your congregation, so that you may continue in your generations as a faithful church of Jesus Christ. Receive him, therefore, beloved, for the Lord's sake, just as the sons of the prophets did when they greeted Elisha upon his return. Beloved, when Elisha received that mantle, he understood what he was getting into. That explains his answer to Elijah's request. He stood before Elijah, the great prophet of Jehovah. He saw himself, his own inability. Had he not been a farmer before he was called to serve as a prophet? He had not gone to university, the schools of those days. Was he prepared enough? Was he equipped well enough to do the work? Would he be able to say things and to understand and to explain the word of God to God's people? With the departure of Elijah at hand, Elisha understood the reality that Elijah being no longer around, now he would be the one to lead Israel. How could he fulfill that? Could he continue what Elijah had begun to do in Israel? Every minister of the word understands where Elisha was standing that day when they are given that coat, that mantle to wear in a congregation or as a missionary on the mission field. We're entrusted with the care of God's people, entrusted with that ministry in the Lord, that work of serving him in the word and the sacraments. And the Lord demands of us in season and out of season that we preach the word. That's a daunting task, beloved. Doesn't matter how large the congregation is, it could be a congregation of 35 souls, 50 souls, 225 souls perhaps. Doesn't matter. We're entrusted with the care of God's people. Who is sufficient for that? Perhaps that helps you understand why this morning, when asked the question, what is your answer to the questions asked in the form, you heard a bit of silence first. Don't be troubled by that. That's the minister standing before the reality, standing where Elisha stood when Elijah went up into heaven. Now it's my turn to serve in this office. Who of himself is sufficient to say, yes, truly, with all my heart? Well, beloved, it's certainly not possible in our own strength, that's for sure. And Elisha knew that too, a man who is just like you and me, no different. He was called to labor in a country, in a nation whose rulers despised the word that he would be called to bring. They didn't dare kill him. They were politically correct, but they hated his word. They despised him. He labored in a nation that was grounded, as far as the majority was concerned, in the worship of the golden calves. They had reformed from Baal worship under Elijah, but there was not complete reformation in Israel. They still worshiped the golden calves. They were a nation struggling under famine and God's judgments because of that. And from his youth, he was a farmer. And most importantly, what was at stake was the glory of God's covenant with the 7,000 in Israel. If it were up to Elisha in those difficult circumstances, with that important calling to serve God's people there, he, as well as many other servants of God in the Old Testament, as they were prone, would never have taken up that mantle. He would have protested like Moses, run away like Jonah, said like Jeremiah, I'm too young to do this work. We, by nature, as mere men, if we understand the weight of the office of ourselves, we would take that mantle and we would throw it in. We would throw in the towel, so to speak, and not do the work. It's humanly impossible. It is. Especially when you understand that when we answer to the question and take up the office of the ministry, we wear the coat, we stand before the throne of Christ. What is your answer? Will you take this mantle and now serve my sheep? Beloved, we are men. That's all we are. Clay pots, as 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7 teaches. Clay pots were dust. Yes, God fills us up with the glorious riches of his gospel. And you must pray that God does that every week so that we come to the pulpit filled with the riches of his mercy and his truth. But the vessel is still clay, dust. Prone to fall into temptation. Prone to despair, like Elijah did, about the progress of reformation in Israel. Prone to despair of God's mercy, which the baptism form warns us not to do. prone to do what Moses did when he struck the rock and spoke to the people of God, something he should never have spoken to the people of God. He did not justify God in the sight of the people. Prone to doubt if the sermon he preached really will work, and that God will use it just the way he said it, as imperfectly as it was said, God will still use that to feed the sheep. We have no power. We have no love of ourselves, no wisdom of ourselves to fulfill the work of wearing the coat. Thus saith Jehovah, I am a servant of God. I have come to bring his word, because that is what you need. That's why Elisha, before Elijah went up into heaven, asked this of Elijah. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for a long ministry. He didn't ask for a lot of things that we might think could be an answer to the question, ask what I shall do for thee before I am gone. He said the one thing that he needed. I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. He asked for the spirit of Elijah. It's common in the Old Testament that firstborn sons would receive the double portion of the inheritance from their fathers. They would get twice as much as the rest. That indicates Elisha viewed Elijah as a spiritual father. He was a son of Elijah because of Elijah's instruction. That's why he calls Elijah, my father, as he left and went into heaven. He was very really Elijah's firstborn son in that sense. And that's why he asked Elijah, his father, I need the double portion of thy spirit. That inheritance, that's what I need to be a faithful son of you, my forefather. And if I don't have that, can't continue in the Lord's work here in Israel. He sought, you see, the double portion of that which was the sum total of Elijah's wealth at the end of his life. Well, what did Elisha have? Of this life, nothing. But the true wealth that Elijah had was that spirit of Jehovah, which the prophets, those 50 prophets who were there on the mountain and near Jericho watching Elisha return, they said, we see, we can tell, the spirit of Elijah is upon him. That is what he asked for. He didn't ask for Elijah's personality. He didn't ask that Elijah would give to him his ability to speak or anything else, simply his spirit, the spirit of Jehovah, the anointing, the power, the wealth of the spirit of Jehovah. That's what I need, beloved. That's what every minister of the word needs. That inheritance, that anointing of the spirit of Jehovah. We need that from our Father, which is Christ, the chief prophet and teacher of the church. We need the double portion, a special measure of that Spirit to work in the office of the minister of the word, not just in the office of believer. We all need to be anointed with the Spirit to be a Christian, but in the office of the minister of the word, a double portion of the Spirit, a special measure to lead the people of God as prophets of Christ in this world. And we We need that spirit as described in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, that spirit of power, not man's power, but the spirit's power, as Elijah experienced that down there in Horeb in the still, small voice, the spirit of love. Love for God and love for his church, love for his sheep and the lambs of Jesus Christ, and wisdom, the wisdom of the Word of God. Like the mantle that Elisha wore around him when he went to the work, so the pastor today needs the Holy Spirit to envelop him, to be his coat that he wears wherever he goes to do his work in the name of Christ, so that it can bear good fruit in the congregation. Grant, I beseech thee, O Father, the double portion of thy Spirit. That's the request of a faithful servant of Jesus Christ in the ministry of the Word. That's my request. In fact, that's what I pray for every time I come to the pulpit, whether it was in the Philippines or in the other churches I served. Lord, grant to me the double portion of that Spirit. Will the Lord grant that request, that we pray for our ministers, that they may be anointed with the Spirit, empowered by him to do his work? Will the Lord answer that request? Will he give his Spirit? Will he anoint me? Will he anoint his servants for the work? We see in the text, beloved, that Elisha, he wanted to know the answer to that question. I asked my father for an inheritance. Now, did I get it? Do I have it? That's why he cried out, "Where is Jehovah God of Elijah?" He cried out, not because he didn't think God could hear him if he said it quietly, but with conviction, "Where is the God, Jehovah God of Elijah?" And that's not a question in which Elisha did not know the answer. That was a question, that was a request of faith. I saw Elijah go into heaven. I saw the door of heaven open. I saw him go in. I saw the horsemen of Israel. I saw a glimpse of the glory of the kingdom of God. Where is that God now as I go forth into the work? He demanded by faith that Jehovah now reveal to him that Jehovah was with him, that he was anointed with his Spirit. Otherwise, why would he go to his work? He wouldn't be able to cross the Jordan River, and he would know. Can't do the work. Every preacher of the Word, every faithful servant of God needs to know the answer to that request. Will the Lord anoint me with the spirit of my forefathers? Where is that Jehovah God of Elijah? Where is that Jehovah of grace and mercy and love to his people in Christ alone? Where is that Jehovah who keeps his covenant with his people, with believers in their seed, who will never leave us nor forsake us, no matter through whatever fire or flood we may pass, he will always go with us. Where is he? And again, that question is not, well, I wonder what the answer is. That's not the question. It's a question of faith, bold faith. Lord, show unto me thy glory, so that I may know that I can do the work, that the work can be fulfilled and be prosperous among God's people. Elisha said that, beloved, on the other side of the Jordan. There, remember, have in your minds and hearts, he's standing before the Jordan River. There he is. All the work is before him. Israel. All the work is there. But what stands between him and the work is the Jordan River. The impassable Jordan. How would he get across? How could he get into the work? It would take a wonder of God to do that, just as it took a wonder to get over to that side, to see Elijah go up into heaven and see a glimpse of the glory of God's kingdom. But it would also take no less of a wonder, not only to open the way up into Israel again, but to continue to keep him faithful in that work in Israel, saying, "Thus saith the Lord," and doing the miracles which God called him to do. That's where a new minister of the word stands, beloved, in his inaugural sermons usually. He must go forward. The Lord gives him the coat to wear. But he stands before an impassable Jordan. How can I get into the work, not only, but continue in the work in faithfulness to Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep? It's humanly impossible, except by the double portion of the spirit of Elijah. We need a wonder. Elisha needed a wonder to be assured that God would use him as a tool in Israel for his glory. The minister needs to be assured in the gospel that God will grant him. The congregation needs to be assured that their pastor is also anointed with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, so that the word which he brings has power, not man's power, but God's power, to do miracles in us, to bring us to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, to work in us the good works which God has before ordained that we should do. Will the Lord grant his spirit? Will he grant us the spirit so that the ministry of the word in our congregation is fruitful? And the answer is yes. Because God said yes, and God says yes. That was his answer to Elisha. When Elisha took his mantle, he wrapped it up like we would a towel, a bath towel, and he snapped the waters of the Jordan River with his mantle. Snap, and the waters parted. There was dry ground. He walked through, and he entered into his work. Anointed with the spirit of Jehovah, the spirit of Elijah. He opened the way before Elisha and assured him, "I will go before you. I will go with you because I will give you my spirit." And that's what the Lord provides for his church, for his ministers, for you and me in the office of believer too, as prophets. Gives us the wonder of his anointing, of his spirit, for the sake of Christ, for our salvation. You say, how can we be so sure that that's God's answer to us, that in that opening of the way across the Jordan for Elisha, that that also applies to you and me? Will God give to us the double portion of his spirit? When we look at our lives, we say, that can't be. I'm such a sinner. How can God do that? I should be cursed like those 42 children. I look more like them sometimes. The Lord's word is, yes, you are sinners, but my mercy is everlasting. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is my mercy to you, to blot out your sin, to work in you repentance and faith, and to see in the gospel your sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. He earned for you a place in my kingdom. You have a right to the riches of my glory. You have a right to the inheritance of the sons of glory because of Christ, with whom you and I are joint heirs, heirs of the kingdom of heaven, heirs of the double portion of the wealth of our Father, which is the Holy Spirit. With the anointing of his Spirit, we have the double portion for Jesus' sake alone. That's the word that assures us God will answer us. He will, when we pray by faith, that we be anointed by his Spirit to preach the word faithfully for our edification, for our preservation. That certainty, beloved, is revealed when we see, you need to see by faith, Elijah ascending up into heaven, there before Elisha, with the tornado and the chariots and the horsemen of Israel escorting him into the presence of God, there to receive his eternal reward. We stand before a revelation of the glory of the victory of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, already in the Old Testament. Elijah had a place in heaven in his ascension without dying. Why? Because of Christ, who was promised to die and to rise again and ascend up into heaven. Already in the Old Testament, from God's viewpoint, in that special event, his will, his word, not only might be done in the future, no, it must be done from God's viewpoint. His kingdom has the victory. His word must go forth wherever he sends it. His servants, whom he calls to the work, must receive his Spirit. On the basis of that certainty, then, of the work of Jesus Christ and the victory of his work and kingdom, Elisha was given the double portion of the Spirit, and the sons of the prophets could see it, even from a distance, and then when he came to them. And so also you may be assured, beloved, tonight as you go home, as we stand upon that finished work of Jesus Christ, not only through his cross and in his resurrection, but also standing in the certainty, the guarantee of that work in the ascension of Jesus Christ. You have the assurance, beloved. I have the assurance. Yes, the Lord in his mercy does anoint his servants to do the work, so that we and our children may be fed Sunday after Sunday with the word of God. Our faith may be strengthened. The Lord may work in us his grace, his salvation, to his glory. And that, beloved, go forth in this week in confidence. In that hope, pray. In that hope, work. In the confidence that, yes, with the anointing of the Spirit, God will cause the work of the church to prosper. He will, for his glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, we pray that thou wilt grant to thy servant, Reverend Smith, the double portion of thy Spirit, that he may be able then to take up the mantle in obedience, in zeal for thy glory, in a love for the lambs and the sheep of the flock, and in a love for Jesus Christ himself, the great shepherd of the sheep. and so that his ministry among us may be fruitful. Unto the glory of thy name, and unto our strengthening and edification as a church of Jesus Christ. Lord, hear us for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.